Muy buenos días a todos los presentes y saludo muy especial.
Good morning to everyone present and warm greetings now in person to my friend and brother, my partner in the ministry, Dr. Miguel Bermudez Marin, who we all love with our heart. And we desire the greatest blessings upon him, and may God allow him to remain among us and to be strong, healthy, until he receives his transformation. Same for you and upon you and for me as well. And we also greet all those who are watching through the satellite Amazonas and internet, and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and other means of communication. And my wife Sarah Melendez also greeted you already, who is also accompanying me on this trip, and also Julian and Jorge. May God bless you greatly, and may He bless us all this morning through His Word. May He speak directly to our souls and to our hearts. And I want to tell you that I am very happy to be here in Ecuador. When I used to come on the trips, accompanying our brother Dr. William Soto Santiago, and our brother Miguel, I was over there, looking this way. But notice how God chose one from among the people to be speaking to you from here, but who is a part of the mystical body of Christ, and who has to be in a place that's a little bit higher so you can hear and see Him. But we are aware that we are all from the same Father, because we are all the same, and that we know each other, and we help one another, and we are on this path to reach the goal of our transformation. It tells us in Leviticus chapter 23, which is the scripture that our brother William used in this message, the New Year, which is the message that we will be seeing and listening to on this occasion. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 to 25, where it tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The New Year. Preach on January 1st, 2017, in Cayey, Puerto Rico. You may please be seated." He tells us in the message, the one who announces peace, preached on October 9th of 2016 in Asunción, Paraguay, our brother William says, "Therefore, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord for the end time, will fulfill the ones that pertain to the second coming." In other words, he is speaking about the Hebrew feasts, which are seven, and of the seven feasts, four were fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord, and three were left to be fulfilled, which the Lord will be fulfilling at this end time. And He is already fulfilling the first one, which is the Feast of the Trumpets. Notice, all that is interlacing. Notice, He says, and He will also come announcing the day of vengeance of our God. That is why Jesus stopped and He did not read, and the day of vengeance of our God, because that is for this end time. And it will be published, it will be preached under the Feast of the Trumpets. Now notice in the message, Revelation chapter 4, part 3, which in this book is on page 597, in the booklet is page 19. So I'm going to read from the booklet, and the translation from English to Spanish might be slightly different. But page 19, paragraph 105, it says, but you notice in here, it was not mercy seat, for there was lightnings and thunders and voices. There is no lightning and thunders at mercy. That's judgment. He writes, throne of judgment. There you can write it on the book, or later on, whosoever has it. Let's turn to Exodus, 19th chapter of Exodus and the 16th verse. Exodus, 19th chapter of Exodus, and let's begin with the 16th verse. And it came to pass, listen what, when God ascended upon Mount Sinai, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, and there he writes, the third dispensation, in the morning, with its S-U-N, sun. And he writes, and seventh millennium. And he also writes, fourth watch, thunders, lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of a trumpet exceedingly loud. What is the voice of the trumpet? It's the archangel. And he writes, the trumpet equals, the voice of the archangel equals judgment. So that all the people, listen, all the people was in the camp, trembled. Now, noticing the message, the rapture, let us turn to that message a minute. On page 24, where it tells us. Now, I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Don't miss this. See? Now notice. The word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there is three things. Notice. From the 3rd to the 16th verse, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord Himself appears. See? The first thing happens. Notice. A shout. And then He starts numbering them. One. A voice. And He writes two. A trumpet. And He writes three. Let's read it now and see if that's right. See? For the Lord Himself, 16th verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout, He writes one again, and with the voice of the archangel, and He writes two, and the trumpet of God, and He writes three. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout, Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Then notice He writes there to the side, God will do it through a prophet, the three things. A shout, what is the shout? It's the message going forth first. Now, on His descending, He puts a cornerstone there and He writes, from 6 to 9 a.m. In other words, a new dispensational day. Now, in this same message, Brother Branham says that the rapture will be from 6 to 9 in the morning. And we desire for it to be in the morning. Now remember what that represents, on the morning of a new dispensational day. And we also desire for it to be on a Sunday, and that it falls in the divine program, in the divine calendar, may it fall on a Sunday, when all the people of God are gathered together. But whatever day it is, that day it is. The living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and He never changes His policy. He never changes His, He's the unchangeable God. How has God fulfilled and is fulfilling what He promised? And how is it that He makes Himself known to the people? And right after that, He says, in Amos 3:7, He said He would do nothing on the earth until first He revealed it to His servants, the prophets. And in the message, the patriarch Abraham, there He tells us, on page 3, beginning on that message, He says, that's all we care to know. God promised it. How is it going to be? I can't tell you. But God said so. He will send Jesus Christ the second time. He will come in a physical form. He will claim His own. There will be 1,000 years millennium reign upon this earth with Him, with the redeemed. That's what He promised. And we are looking for that hour to approach. In this same message that we read previously, the rapture, He says that in His first coming, He came to redeem us. In His second coming, He comes to claim us. And He says that that coming is like a thief in the night. And He says that in the third coming, He comes with the bride after the great tribulation, after the marriage supper of the Lamb. But notice that after, if we count, after the millennium, when we return to earth, it would be the fourth coming. Now, in this message, the patriarch Abraham, on the front he writes, the second coming of Jesus Christ in physical form. Now notice at what He tells us in the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, on page 35. On this booklet, it says, think of it. It's the end time, folks. Hallelujah. The great day of the Lord is at hand. Gather yourselves together. Feast of the Messiah. And He writes there, the day of the Lord, feast of the Messiah. They reject Him, and they'll find out that there is their Messiah. The Bible said them striking things like this would take place. In Revelation 11, call, their ministry will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah calling to Israel out of the Jewish traditions, just as the seventh angel's message called the bride out of the Pentecostal tradition. Remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb and sheep and blood and goats and sacrifice to the real living sacrifice, to the Word. There he writes, call them today to Moses and Elijah, God in flesh. The 144,000 are called out of the Jewish tradition. By whom? By the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And the seventh angel's message under the same trumpet, same everything exactly, the same seal, is to what? Call the people, the bride, out of the Pentecostal and world tradition to the genuine atonement, to the Word, Christ impersonated in His Word here, made flesh among us. There, He is speaking to us more clearly about how God would be fulfilling His coming. Now, let us continue there where we stopped on the unedited book of the ages. It says, judgment? Oof. They had marched out there, and God had given them grace to travel by, but they had demanded a law. God wanted them to be interdenomination. They wanted to make a denomination out of it, something they could argue about, instead of just following God and living under His jurisdiction, under His power. Grace had provided a prophet. Grace had provided an atonement, a lamb. Grace had provided all these things, and yet they wanted judgment. Notice in the law, He had provided them that atonement, in other words, that lamb, that goat, which represented the perfect lamb that would come later on. And notice, in the dispensation of grace, there the people would also have that atonement, the lamb, but no longer in an animal, but in Jesus Christ. We are going through grace already. The law provided it. Grace as well. And what about the dispensation of the kingdom? There is where we see a new mercy seat will come. Of which, notice, that was hidden inside the seventh seal. If He says that He comes to save us, how? How would He come to save us? Now, grace has provided a prophet. Grace has provided an atonement, a lamb. Grace had provided all these things, and yet they wanted judgment. They wanted something they could do. God said, assemble them together. I'll let them know what it is. I'll show them what it is. Read, listen, and the voice of the trumpet got louder and louder until it shook the earth. You see what judgment is? Got louder and louder. He places an arrow and draws a cornerstone and the ages, the arrow toward the cornerstone. You see what judgment is? I don't want that. Give me mercy. We don't want judgment either. Lord, give us mercy. And where will we find it if He's no longer on the throne of intercession making intercession? On the new mercy seat. On that throne where God in this end time is extending mercy for the last time. Now, He also tells us further on in this same booklet on page 20, He says, now, the voice of the throne, notice in this throne, before the throne was the seven stars. The voice of the stars. Voices. They're already looking for where the page is over here. So I can tell you. 95. Here, these pages are for the book in Spanish. 595. Is it 597? Quote 116 or 118. 116. There is where I'm reading in the booklet on page 597 of the unedited book of the ages. Now, the voice of the throne. the voice of the throne, and he makes an arrow. He makes a drawing of the cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Notice, in this throne, before the throne was the seven stars, the voice of the stars. And there below the ages, under that cornerstone, the ages, and the arrow toward the part of the ages. In other words, he has the cornerstone and the ages. Voices, you see? There was more in the Revelation 4 here, or 5, we find out. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunders, and voices. Not one voice, voices, plural. That is, the seven messengers of the ages. What was it? God speaking to the church, reflecting himself through the seven spirits. When the true anointed of God speaks, it's the voice of God. To reject it is to remove the candlestick. See? See? Voices. The voice of the seven church ages. Over here in the corner. The voices speaking with thunder and lightning. Now. In the message. Or. In this last part of that Congress of Rabbis there in Argentina, he spoke something to us about the trumpets. And there he marked for us a time. Look in that little part which we read, which was on December 17th, 2016. It says, let us read from the part where he says, I do not have much time left on earth. I'm already 76 years old, and I have no time to waste with the Gentiles or the Jews. I have been sent from the presence of God to give this news, this good tidings to Israel. And the sooner I make them known, the sooner I can go to the house of our Heavenly Father. Study whether all this that I have speaking is promising the scripture for Israel. And if it is promised, it has already begun to be fulfilled, and the Feast of the Trumpets may already have begun to crystallize, that is to interlace, or it is very close to crystallizing. Now, we have already seen in what we have read that the Feast of the Trumpets, the content of the Feast of the Trumpets, is that part that Jesus did not read when he says, and the day of vengeance of our God. In other words, the message that the ministry of Moses and Elijah would be bringing would be the second part that Jesus did not read, which pertains to the Feast of the Trumpets. And here he's telling us that it is about to be crystallized, or about to begin. In other words, at that time, the instrument was already pretty grown up to soon begin that ministry. And he is given a great revelation there, which God hadn't revealed to the church bride at that time yet, because the seventh seal was still closed at that time, which is the coming of the Lord. And he goes on to say, the Feast of the Trumpet is what contains the day that shall burn like an oven. It is what contains the divine judgment that will fall upon mankind. It is where it will be known of who will live and who will die. And we all want to live. I desire life for you, and I desire it for me as well. Now notice that in his coming, by him having the book, he knows who will live and who will die, who will be transformed and who will stay behind in the great tribulation. Now, how will all of this be made known? Notice, in the message, the God of this evil age, which that excerpt we're going to read in the booklet, is in the book of quotations on page 155. paragraph 1387. But in the booklet, it's on page 4. To read what he wrote there. And see where and from where all this teaching would come forth. Notice it says, now in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, the last seven vials, and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation. Time them together in this hour that we're now living, to follow the opening of the seven seals, the seven church ages. So, we couldn't get room to do it. So, I hope that soon as I can get a place sufficient for that, either here in Louisville, New Albany, or either put up a tent, so we can just stay as long as the Lord leads us to do. Here on the booklet he writes, the last seven thunders, the first ones were in the seven ages. The last seven trumpets, the first ones were in the seven ages. The last seven plagues, the first seven were in the seven ages. And there on the front of the booklet he writes, in the tent equals the teaching of the vials, the trumpets, and the last seven thunders. And there also in the book of quotations, above that paragraph he writes, the teaching in the tent equals the thunders. Where would that teaching be made known? Which is in those thunders, which brings the rapture in faith, in a great tent cathedral. Now, in the message, the one who announces peace, preached on October 9th, 2016 in Asunción, Paraguay, he tells us, the Feast of the Trumpets is the first feast that the Messiah will fulfill. In other words, notice how there he already begins in this message, begins to speak to us the order of the fulfillment of those three last feasts, which would be fulfilled by the Messiah in his coming, the Anointed One, the Christ. The Feast of the Trumpets is the first feast that the Messiah will fulfill. Then it is followed by the Feast of Atonement, revealing the Atonement, making the Atonement known so that Israel obtains mercy. In the Book of Quotations, on page 129, paragraph 1151, it tells us, and the seventh angel's message under the same trumpet, same everything exactly, the same seal, is to what? Call the people, the bride, out of the Pentecostal and world traditions, to the genuine atonement, the Word. Christ impersonated in His Word here, made flesh among us. On the line, call the people, the bride, there an arrow toward the left side, and there in that space is draw a cornerstone, the arrow toward the cornerstone, and on the second line, the bottom part of the ages and the seventh age, which is the Pentecostal part, and there's an arrow toward that place. And on top he writes, the atonement today equals the Word made flesh. There we have the new mercy seat. Our brother William continues to say, and then, that is, the third one would be the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is the Millennial Kingdom. As simple as that. Those are the three feasts that will be fulfilled at this end time. In the message, the Feast of the Trumpets tells us on page 19, which in the Book of Quotations is an excerpt of the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, in the Book of Quotations. It is on 128. We will read from this portion first, and then the next one is on page 128. Page 19 of the Feast of the Trumpets. But let us turn to paragraph 142, where it says, "Now notice, the trumpet is to call together the people, assemble themselves together for something. Sometime it announced an important person. Like in Joseph, they sounded the trumpet and Joseph was appearing, which is a symbol of the great trumpet that we spoke of and get to after a while in Isaiah. That says when the great trumpet sounds, when that ensign will be lifted up there, and then there come a time when the great trumpet will be sounded, and all the nations will gather to Jerusalem. That's when the millennium starts, the great trumpet." There at the top he writes, "Joseph and the trumpet." And he also writes, "the great trumpet, all will gather in Jerusalem." And he also writes, "the ensign." Now let us turn to page 20, which is the excerpt of this page 128, paragraph 1143. First part of that paragraph, it says, "Notice now, exactly the continuity of the scripture, exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church." Now, in the Book of Quotations, he writes, seventh trumpet, and he writes above that, Moses and Elijah, is to Israel the same as the seventh seal, and above the seventh seal, he writes Moses and Elijah, because it's the same thing. And he would always tell me, "Benji, you must have a clear knowledge of what the seventh trumpet is to Israel and what the seventh seal is to the church." He always mentioned that to me and told me, and always remember that it is the same thing. In other words, the people, the church bride, would have what the Hebrew people are going to receive later on, because it is, to speak plainly, the same ministry that God is operating in the midst of the church bride. In that instrument is the same one that the Hebrew people will see. As simple as that. And in the booklet he writes, seventh seal equals seventh trumpet. And he also writes, the seventh trumpet to Israel is the same thing as the seventh seal to the church. He told me, "You need to know how to handle that subject well." Of course I needed to handle that subject well, for I would be dealing with, working with, two people. And I had to have a clear understanding of what that ministry was, what that minister would do in favor of the church bride, which is bringing to her the rapturing faith, but also under the Feast of the Trumpets, showing the Hebrew people that next feast, which is the Feast of the Atonement. Now he continues to say, "We find under the seventh seal that when these souls that was under the altar there that receive robes, they were given robes, not that they earned them, because they were in the dispensation." And he writes above, "of grace." I'm reading from the booklet. And here in the Book of Quotations, he writes there, dispensation of grace as well. Here he writes, of grace. When God was still dealing with grace with the Gentiles. Now, our brother William continues to say here, he will know. Who? Well, the instrument. He will know the feast that he must fulfill and what he should speak. When he speaks it, then everything that was promised will be materialized. Moses said back then, "Let there be flies." And he says, that was the part that Moses had to do. That thought came to him from God to speak it. Moses spoke. He says, "You might have not seen a fly anywhere, but suddenly one appeared, and after a while there were flies." And then he says there, "Per this many square meters," something like that, or square miles. Notice, because the word of God has been spoken through his instrument. Everything must be spoken in order for God to fulfill the promise that he would be fulfilling at that time. Like, for example, he said, at the last trumpet, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised first, and we who are alive shall be changed." In other words, that word, when that prophet said it, for example, at this time, to say, everyone who is hearing me on this occasion, or who is reading, or who is listening to this conference that is being recorded, you are going to be transformed. And that word is already spoken. Therefore, there is no way, as we commonly say in Puerto Rico, no one can take away from you that you will be transformed. Now, we do know that there is an order and obedience from God in his word that we must follow. God is helping us to reach that promise. So don't be disobedient, because then God can shorten your days and take you away, and you will be part of the resurrection. Now, we are not saying that when a brother departs, it is because he has done something and God is taking him away. For there is also a list, and that list has to be filled with the people whom will be there in the sixth dimension to join that group, to then be part of the resurrection. Just as there is also a list of those that are going to be transformed. Do you remember the vision or dream that Brother Branham had of the recording angel? He was checking if they were on the list. So-and-so, let's check if he's here, to make sure no one sneaked in here. But notice, we always thought, how can somebody sneak in the marriage supper of the Lamb? Didn't you ask that yourself? When they were at the supper and he said, "What are you doing here? You don't have the garment on." Notice how today, at this end time, in the stage of the age of the cornerstone, which typifies, represents that time, that moment of the marriage supper of the Lamb, only those who will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb entered and abide there. There won't be one more or one less. He says, they left from among us because they weren't of us, because the only ones there are those for whom he has come to give them the rapturing faith and take them away. He has come for those who love his coming. Whosoever doesn't love his coming will not receive the promises of the one who came, so that God will fulfill them in them. Now, he continues to say here, when he speaks it, then everything that was promised will be materialized, and we will see how each thing will fall into place. Look in the message, recognizing your day and its message. these two messages, the Feast of the Trumpets, preached on July 19th, and Recognizing Your Day and its message, preached the following Sunday, July 26th. Those two messages, he would always tell me, take this message and that other one and put them together. This one goes with that one, put them together. This one and that one. Because what he don't speak in one, he speaks of it in the other. So put those two messages together. Because there, what he did not speak that last Sunday, he spoke it in the next one. And in the previous message, let us see if it was the previous one. Check Broken Cisterns, if it was before or after. I believe it was after. Now notice on this one, of Recognizing Your Day and its message, on page 7, it tells us, the same day in the afternoon, oh well, it was the same day, 26. Those three messages must be kept together, because there, he spoke everything that pertained to the Feast of the Trumpets and all the feasts pertaining to this end time and the ones that God already fulfilled. Now notice on page 7 of the message, Recognizing Your Day and its message, it says, and seven Sabbaths represented the seven church ages to be called in the time of the Pentecostal Feast of Pentecost, to call a people from the Gentiles for his name. And there he draws the bottom part of the ages, to call a people from the Gentiles for his name. Now, at the end of these seven Sabbaths, which has been, there was to be the Day of Atonement, which was the seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets was to call a day of mourning back for the sacrifice or the atonement. And we find out then that Israel, the seven trumpets pertained only to Israel. And he writes, Day of Atonement today. And then why he wouldn't let me preach then seven trumpets. And at the bottom there, on the bottom part in the booklet, he writes, the seven trumpets equals produced the holy convocation of Israel for the Day of Atonement on the 50th year, year of Jubilee. I ever was ready to announce it. Had the halls ready and everything to go into, to preach the seven trumpets. And I said, and he writes at the top, the gospel of the kingdom was after the ages. And I said, there is something bothering me so bad. I said, we kept on working and Billy and all of us trying to get everything ready for the air-conditioned building for this next coming week, for the seven trumpets, having 10 days or 8 days, had the school auditorium. But the Holy Spirit would let me do it. For some reason, I wondered why. And when I went in to pray, I told the wife, I'm going in. And sincerely, I knelt down before God to pray, and He revealed it to me. Now look at what it means to enter the presence of God with sincerity. No hypocrisy. If you entered into the presence of God with sincerity, God will reveal to you. God will answer you. But notice, in the vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where he was on a narrow way where that snake was, you saw the two occasions that the angel said to him, you have to be more sincere. Now, he says, and he revealed to me that them seven trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. And I've done preached it because he had already preached, notice, the seals. And he has said that the trumpets, the Feast of the Trumpets, was Moses and Elijah. He had already spoken that the sixth seal was Moses and Elijah. But notice, that was still closed as far as God allowed him to open and speak on what the sixth seal was. In other words, He opened it as far as he was able to open it, because he says that the first six seals were open, but he didn't say anything about the seventh. Now he says, supernaturally, see, it's the hand of God, the whole thing. It pertains to Israel, and we picked it up under the sixth seal. You all who have that, how the persecution of the Jews. The time of the Gentiles has been in the Pentecost feast. The trumpets under, all of them were sounded under the sixth seal. And we picked it up last Sunday under the Feast of the Trumpets. If you all want to get it, what was it to do? To rush the Jews from all parts of the world back into their homeland. It must be there. And the opening of the seals under the sixth seal. And here to the side he writes, the trumpets. And he also writes, the trumpets under the sixth seal. Now, our brother William continues to say, we will see how each prophecy pertaining to the end time will blend together with the other, and it will form a full picture of what the Lord has promised to do in the end time, in His coming. That is, what would the Lord do at the end time? Well, fulfill His coming. Under what? Under those last three feasts. Now notice also in the message, birth pains, on page 17. Paragraph 118 says, watch how it was portrayed in Jacob. Watch how it was portrayed in Joseph, exactly. Love of his bro, his father, hated by his brothers. Without a cause, he was spiritual, could foretell things and interpret dreams. He couldn't help being that. He was just born that. He was predestinated to be that, but was hated by his brothers, and finally sold him for 30 pieces of silver, almost 30 pieces, and was raised up, set at the right hand of Pharaoh. Look, in his prison, there was a butler and a baker. One was lost and one was saved. Jesus in his prison on the cross. One was lost, one was saved. Exactly. And then exalted into heavens and sat down on the throne of God. And when he shall leave again, there will be a sound go forth. When he leaves where? The throne of intercession. A sound go forth. Bow the knee. And every tongue confessed. And when Joseph left the throne and started forward, a trumpet sounded, and every knee had to bow. Joseph was coming. So someday, the great trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to this word. But what's his coming after? What's his coming here for? Notice. She brought forth this complete word, which was made flesh, on the birth pains of the prophets that blasted out, He is a coming. He is a coming. He is a coming. And he writes there, Joseph coming, and the great trumpet. And to the right, he also writes, the word. And in the message, masterpiece, or the masterpiece, tells us on page 18, and we notice he was taken from his prison to the right hand of Pharaoh, that no man could speak to Pharaoh only through Joseph. And when Joseph left that throne of Pharaoh, and the trumpet sounded throughout Egypt, the blast went forth and said, bow the knee, everybody, Joseph is coming forth. And he writes, the great trumpet on the left. And to the right he writes, Joseph. So will it be with Jesus, how he was loved of the Father and hated of the denominational brethren without a cause. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver as it was, and put in the ditch supposedly to be dead on the cross. One lost and the other one saved, and was lifted up from the cross and set at the right hand of God in the majesty, the great spirit which had been reflected in him. And no man can speak to God only through Jesus Christ. Think of it. And when he leaves that throne, starts forth, the trumpet will sound, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. When he leaves which throne? The throne that he was sitting on, making intercession, which that has already happened. Here he's speaking of the future, and that has already happened. He has already left the throne of intercession. And he writes to the right, the great trumpet, the coming of the Lord. Remember, he was the son of prosperity. Everything that he did prospered. Whether it was prison or wherever it was, it came out right. And everything worked together for the good, whether it was sickness, prison, house, death, sorrow, whatever it was, that it would work for the good to them that loved him. He makes that sentence in the form of a question. Let's read it with the tone of a question. So, it is heavily annotated. Well, the punctuation marks are not very clear sometimes. But then we understand it's a question because we see the mark at the end. And hasn't he promised for his children that he'll make everything work together for the good? Whether it was sickness, prison, house, death, sorrow, whatever it was, that it would work for the good of them that loved him. See? To those who love his coming. All things work and will work for good. To those who love what? His coming. And he also loves you. In other words, it is a reciprocal love. You love me and I love you. And for both, all things will work together for good. Although we know that a very difficult squeeze is coming, but God will deliver us, and all things will work for good. Your sorrow, notice, shall be turned into what? Into joy. He promised it, and it must be so. It's got to be there. It's figurative, spoke to us in him. He was that perfect image of God. Now, we see here also that when he comes again, remember, Joseph by revelation saved the world. And he writes, Joseph saved the world by his great prophecy. The world would have died if he hadn't have been for Joseph. And the world would have been dead if it hadn't had been for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. God is reserving life. And there he writes, Joseph saved the world. And on we could go, because he was simply the match of David. He was the match of Moses. He was the match of Elijah. He was the match of Joseph. Everything is portrayed or foretold by him in the Old Testament. Match right into that. What is it? Showing a perfect Redeemer. That we could put our old dirty clothes, and he writes body, our old dirty clothes into the laundry. Go claim it again. Now, notice that there. The only ones to whom God gives that power to claim that theophany is to the elect of God, who are in the age of the cornerstone. He gives them the right to claim that theophany, your theophany, to come and transform your body. Because it is ours. He says, claim what is ours. So, now, he gives us the right to claim what he gave us when we accepted and received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Under the dispensation of grace, when it was opened, we obtained a new birth. We obtained that theophanic body in the sixth dimension. But now in the dispensation of the kingdom, now, well, where is my theophany? He says, the theophany speaks to us. Hey, but I want that theophany inside me. I want that word, which is the word, inside of me. That pure word. And how will you obtain it? Well, by claiming it. We are in the claiming dispensation. It is time for us to claim what belongs to us. By claiming our theophany, and the theophany is the word, everything is there. Now notice why we must place the word right. By placing the word right, we are going to obtain, and we are obtaining, all the promises pertaining to this end time. And the last one will be our transformation. He goes on to say, he writes on the side there, claim. So let's not cry and complain. Let's keep moving forward. And instead, what we have been told is, let's claim what belongs to us. We can claim what is our own and everything that he died for. We can claim it. So, he was the perfect word portrayed. And he writes to the side, again on the right, he writes, the claim. And notice he writes, the dirty clothes, the body through sex, the clean clothes, the transformed body. Because we have that other piece of the tag. Remember when he was talking about the Chinese tags on the laundry? You will take your clothes there, and they will give you a piece of paper tag. And when you would go to claim your clean clothes, that piece of paper tag would match the one that they kept there. And there you can take your clothes, but not dirty. Very clean. That's the eternal and glorified body that he promised for you and me. A perfect body. A body where there will be no suffering, sadness, there will be no way to sin in that body. That's where we are headed to. Now, our brother William keeps saying, the most glorious thing of all is that he will resurrect his believers who have died in glorified bodies. And he will transform his believers who are alive, and there will be a full manifestation of the power of God for a short period of time, where God will shake this world. And then he will take his believers with him, already glorified, to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the Book of Quotations on page 130, paragraph 1162, he tells us, which is an excerpt of the message, Recognizing Your Day and Its Message, it says, what are we waiting for? When that trumpet, the last one, the Lord shall sound. Who will be sounding that trumpet? The Lord. The Lord and His coming. Because He knows which one, what we read, which one He must fulfill. And the very first one He will fulfill, it says there, is the Feast of the Trumpets. Therefore the Lord will sound, it says, the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. So the Lord Himself is the one who will say that time shall be no more. Dawn broke into eternity, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he writes above that, the great trumpet, and time shall be no more. Revelation 10, and also writes 11:15-19. And where it says, the last one A little arrow comes out from the last one there, and a cornerstone and the ages, and the arrow toward the cornerstone and a star of David. And to the right as well, upward, he writes the great trumpet. Now, our brother William continues to say, and there, his church and Christ will be invested as king and queen. To then, three dots. And there, they will be united and invested. And they will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And after the great tribulation, will return with him for the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth, called the kingdom of David, which will be restored, as well as the throne of David, which will be restored, because God's throne on earth is the throne of David. Therefore, there will be a son of David, a sprout, a root. In Isaiah tells us about that. Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In the book of Quotations tells us there, on page 86. Paragraph 734. It tells us, the trumpet of God shall sound. That last trump will blast forth the same time that the last angel is given his message and the last seal is open. That last trumpet will sound, and the Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possessions, his church, blood washed. But now he comes from here at this last seal. He no more mediator. He is king now. And even those who are alive and remain till his coming shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound at the last trumpet, when the last seal is broke, and when the seventh angel is given his message. That last trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet him in the air. And there he writes, he comes in the seventh seal. That is above that paragraph. He comes in the seventh seal when the seventh seal is opened. The last trumpet will sound. When does the final trumpet sound? When the seventh seal is opened. And the seventh seal, in Revelation chapter 8, it says that when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And notice that this silence in heaven occurs when the dispensation of grace ends and he leaves the throne of intercession. Now notice in the message, the unveiling of God tells us on page 53, it says, so will it be sometime when the trumpet of the Lord shall be sounded out. And he writes, the great trumpet and Moses and Elijah. When the trumpet of the Lord shall be sounded out, time shall be no more. Now he says that when the trumpet of the Lord is sounded, that time shall be no more. And he writes, the great trumpet and Moses and Elijah. And he writes above that, When the trumpet sounds, time shall be no more. Now, of the messengers, who spoke that the time would be no more, that the time of the dispensation of grace was closed? Notice, no messenger spoke and said that the dispensation of grace had closed. Instead, they said, the dispensation of grace, the door will close soon. And our brother William told us in 2018, the door of the dispensation of grace will be closed soon. And then in 2019, in January, an instrument appears saying, stop the baptisms, stop the holy suppers, time is no more. Now, there we can already identify where those ministries are, and where God is crystallizing the Feast of the Trumpets, how God, at that time, was carrying out what He promised, that He would fulfill in His coming, that is, fulfill those last three feasts, and He would start with which one? With the Feast of the Trumpets. Now notice, that was what we saw in what He told us in that excerpt at the beginning, that He will know the feast that He must fulfill. Now, He continues to say on page 53 of the message, The Unveiling of God, those who have been looked at and made fun of, that stood there before the open veil and seen the Word of God manifested. Three dots. Now, on page 97, on the Book of Quotations, there we join this that we are reading. There's a part where he says that, look at how the Scriptures starts to come together, something like that. I don't know if it's in the seals or ages or quotations, but there's a place where he says, look at how the Scripture starts to come together or join together. Now notice on page 97, paragraph 838 says, and all of you are conscious and know that there is something mysterious happening, and it is happening, and I know what it is. Now, I'm not just saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous, and it's gone right now, and there is no way in the world for you to see it. But so help me, with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. Of course he knew what it was. He saw him. And Brother William, in the Book of the Seals, he wrote what Brother Branham seen or what he saw. It's been told you before. So, just don't try to put any interpretation. But just believe me as your brother, see? We're living in a great hour. See? Every time you've tried to do it, you've done that. So just don't try to make no interpretations. And especially tonight, when that seal, and he writes, the second coming of the Lord equals seventh seal. When that seal becomes up in front of you. Now, notice, don't try to make any interpretation. And he says, especially when that seal comes up in front of you. That is, do not look at the veil. Look at what is behind the veil. Because if you look at the veil, you stumble. For he says that they stumble because of the veil. Don't try to make any interpretations. And especially tonight, when that seal becomes up in front of you, see? Just don't try to interpret it. If you can't understand it, this is that third pool. And he writes on top, there is no way to see it, the seventh seal, but it will come in front of you. Now, that was what our brother Miguel read to us, or what we read this morning, and brother Miguel repeated it in his own words, which is on page 548 of the seals. It says below. It says on that page, when he's there talking about the tenth vision, he says in that page, I started crying. All the line was tangled around me like this. And I was standing there crying with my head down like that. I said, God, oh, forgive me. I'm a stupid person. Look, don't forgive me. I had this line. And that what I had in my hand was a little baby's shoes, about that long. And I had that string, was about as big around as my finger, about half an inch, like. And the eyelet in this shoe was just about the size of a 1/16, probably, of an inch, in the eyelet. And I was trying to lace this little shoe up with this great big inch cord. Voice come up, said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Said, now, let them alone. And just then, he took me up, and sit me way up high to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent. And he writes there, Tent Cathedral. And on the left, he writes, the voice from the throne to somebody higher above. And he drew a cornerstone. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort, and I looked, and there was a little box, like little place over in the side, and I seen that light, and he writes, pillar of fire, was talking to somebody, and he writes, 50 Elijah, above, and he writes, 8th age, above me, and he writes, 7th age, that light that you see there on the picture, it whirled away from me like that, and went over that tent, and said, I'll meet you there, and said, this will be the third pool, and you won't tell it to nobody. And to the left, he writes, the third pool, and a cornerstone. Here only have a few, but in the rest of the books, you should have the rest of them there, in the writings. I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool, and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool. And there's three great things that goes with it. There he also writes, the sign in the hand, discernment, the spoken word. And he also writes, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. And one unfolded today or yesterday. And he writes, Moses and Elijah, the sixth seal. The other one unfolded today, the seventh seal. He wrote that. And there's one thing. Then he writes above, the second coming, Moses and Elijah. See, it's the same thing. And there is one thing that I cannot interpret, because it is in an unknown language. And at the bottom he writes, under the seven thunders. But I stand right there and look right straight at it. Now, there we spoke, we saw, when that seal comes up in front of you. And he was standing in front of the third pool. And then he says, but I stand right there and look right straight at it. And this is the third pool coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my. That's the reason all heaven was silent. See? In the fulfillment of that vision, the half hour of silence was already being fulfilled. Now, since when did that half hour of silence begin? Because notice, he says, almost half an hour. Once, we gave some examples, for example, from Calle to Montellera, which is a shopping center. It takes about 25 minutes or half an hour, depending on the traffic. You can say almost half an hour. But if the road is good, you can do it in 15 minutes. You can do it in 17 minutes. Half an hour is 20 years and 10 months. The time of God. But he says almost half an hour. Hopefully that almost is pretty short. How far does that almost go to? Because it could be almost 50 minutes, and it could be almost 12 minutes. Let's leave that part there. But he told us in the 70 weeks of Daniel, page 23 or 27, around there, that it would not fail by a minute. In other words, the day that the resurrection and transformation will happen, when we see the time and when it was, the day that we're in, we will be able to say, truly, it was almost half an hour. In other words, it's the time when that promise would be fulfilled. But notice, the cycles of Brother Branham, they were showing the church bride what the stages of the church would be, and also what the final ministry would be. Now, I better stop right here. See, I just feel checked not to say no more about it, see? So just remember the seventh seal, the reason it was not open. See, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And I want you to know, before I even know any word about that, that vision came years ago. Do you remember that? And here it is, just as this other has, slides right straight into the word exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Oh my. That shows it's from God. For see, it fits exactly in the promise of God for the end of the message. What is the message of the end time? The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Now, he continues to say here in the message, the unveiling of God, he tells us, others will scream for it. But as you said, in other words, he is speaking about, let us review a little bit, refresh our memory just a little bit. He is saying, so will it be sometime when the trumpet of the Lord shall be sounded out. Time shall be no more. Those who have been looked at and made fun of, that stood there before the open veil and seeing the word of God manifested, others will scream for it. But as you said, it'll be too late then. They went into the wedding supper, that is the bride, and they were left out. And they were left out where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That is in the Great Tribulation. Help every person to believe this morning, Father. Break through every veil of selfish, every veil of unbelief, and see the mighty conqueror unveiled before the believers. Now, there he is telling us that when that is being fulfilled, and he's also telling us there about those people, that many in that place have not received the Lord under the dispensation of grace. But he is also showing what would happen in this end time. at the end of time. He says, "For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. A little while, and the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me. Show yourself among us, Lord, as you have been doing. Ever remain that way until we are visible before you. When the enmorphe has been changed, and you become again son of man, and son of David." Now, in the book of quotations, he told us on paragraph 183, that in Brother Branham's time, he, that is God, was in the midst of the people in mercy. And Brother William told us that there would be another manifestation of the Son of Man. Now notice, it says on page 82, paragraph 183, "The Son of Man is now being revealed from heaven. Will he come after a while, Brother Branham? It is now. And I hope I won't have to make this so personal on this own meeting, but that your spirit within you that's given you by God can read what I'm talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them in great presence, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. Is being laughed at and scoffed at. The next time he reveals himself, he'll be in judgment on the world and the nations that forgot God and sinned their way of grace, the day of grace rather, away." And he writes, the third dispensation. And above that, he writes, Revelation 19, 11 to 21, which is that white horse rider of Revelation. And on page 22, above that paragraph 183, which we read, he writes, "He has come from his glory, Son of Man, grace and judgment." Now, in that manifestation, there we see that it is as Son of David and as Son of Man, because it's the title of prophet. Now, notice on this message, we will continue with the other one, the one who announces peace. But in the message, the cycles of repetition, in the divine program, which we read a part of it on Friday, and in this message, he tells us about the feasts. Look, this was preached on December 20th, 2013, in Cali, Colombia. He says, "We also find that Christ fulfilled the four feasts in his first coming, and the other three feasts pertain to the second coming of Christ." On page 28 to 29 of the message or booklet, The Feast of the Trumpets, he tells us there, all right, Leviticus now, "And the Lord," 23rd, "the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying," the scripture that we read at the beginning, "In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation," see? "Ye shall do the servile work therein, but ye shall not offer offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." And there he writes, the trumpets on the day, the trumpets on the Day of Atonement. The trumpets on the Day of Atonement. Then he writes, the seventh month. Now watch, now notice. "And the Lord spake, Moses, saying, Also in the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of an atonement." See, the atonement followed the Three dots. Watch now. The atonement followed the trumpet sound. In other words, first the Feast of the Trumpets and then the Feast of Atonement. See? How beautiful, see? Atonement Day followed the trumpet. And he writes, seventh. Now, the 50 days of the trumpets for us symbolize when the trumpet sounded at Pentecost, which was 50 days. Now, after this, the Jews rejected that. Now, the trumpets is to call them back to the atonement, see? The atonement they rejected. And they rejected so our eyes could be open. Theirs was closed. And he writes, Day of Atonement. Now notice what our brother William continues to say. The Feast of the Trumpets, which is also the Feast of the New Year, which the Hebrew people observe. After that follows, that is the first day of the seventh month of each year of the Hebrew calendar. And sometimes it falls in one month, and other times in another of the Gentile calendar. That is, sometimes it falls in September, other times in October. This year is October? I think this year is October, around the 2nd or the 4th. October 2nd? Around there it falls this year, see? It can fulfill. There are years that it falls in September. This year it falls in October. Let us read this. Did you find 385 in the Book of the Seals? So we do not leave it behind. Where it speaks about the Scriptures. 385 says, But when you see Scriptures dovetailing with Scripture, making it a constant continuity when they come together. The Scriptures where this one lives off here, this other one over here comes and dovetail in and draws the whole picture out. How beautiful, right? Like putting a crossword puzzle together. You find the piece that fits in. There is nothing else can fit it. Then you're getting the picture fixed. And there's only one can do that. That's the Lamb. And so we're looking to Him. And there are some excerpts that I have here so that perhaps in some Bible study where Brother Branham and Brother William tells us that the only one who can put that puzzle together is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one. He is the teacher. October 2nd, confirmed, from the 2nd to the 4th of October. 2 to the 4th, because they have those days. It falls on Sunday. Or is it falls on a weekend? The 2nd? It falls on Friday? Is it the 4th? Now, our brother William continues saying here, Afterwards, then also comes the Feast of the Atonement. Christ is the goat of the sin offering, and Israel will recognize him. They will recognize the Feast of the Atonement fulfilled in Christ. The believers in Christ have already recognized him, but the Jews will recognize him in his second coming. In the message, trying to do God a service without being the will of God, preached on July 18th, he tells us on page 36, Oh God, I look around with spiritual eye. I try to see what's taking place. There he writes, I look with spiritual eye, and a Star of David. I see your word, the way it's been vindicated, the way it's been proven, all the way from 33 years ago, down here on the river, what you said. And here it is, 33 years later, and you're doing just what you said. And you've done just what you said. Lord, far be it from us, trying to make it any littler or to make it any bigger. Just keep it the way you've made it. Just walk humble and follow you. These are they, Lord, that you have given to the ministry, besides all those who sleep across the nation, around the world. The cemeteries here hold many of those waiting, blessed saints. But it's as it said, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are asleep. The trumpet will sound, the dead shall rise first, then we'll be caught up with them, when the glory of God will be upon the earth. He'll hide the church away from the world. He won't even see it when it goes. And he writes, the trumpet will sound. And he also writes there in a cornerstone that he draw, toward the cornerstone he writes, in the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom, behind the veil, in the most holy place, in the spiritual temple, in his church. In other words, there is where the glory of God will hide or has hidden his church. In other words, speaking in that past term, there, Brother Branham is saying that it will happen in the future. And now, we speak about it in present tense. God has hidden us behind the veil, in the age of the cornerstone. He says, it won't even see it when it goes. In other words, the world will not see. Some will say, but that person has never gone for so long. In the Book of the Seals, he speaks of a young girl, or speaks of a, maybe this one went fishing. In other words, no one will know. Only those who, he says, are familiar with that. In other words, with those promises. Now, our Brother William continues to say in this message, remember that there is the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago. There is the coming of Christ to his church for this end time, to give her the faith to be transformed and taken with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He used to tell us that so clearly there. And now we see that the fulfillment of his coming is what the people of God, the church bride, who is waiting for him, would see in front of her. And Brother Branham had to be transported to that time, and to be able to see him directly, to see what John saw at the time of the first coming of the Lord, which he saw the pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit rest upon Jesus like a dove. Now Brother Branham, as the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, is transported to that time, because he says, I may be killed before or die before. Page 119, paragraph 1058, or something, but I won't die of old age until he's here, unless I'm shot or something, he said. But if not, he says, if not, this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. Now, notice how God fulfilled in Brother Branham the same thing that happened with John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus. And now, since Brother Branham was showing, typifying this ministry in his life, he had to depart on that date, because otherwise he would last. He was a healthy man. He was strong. He would have been 65 years old for that date, when that instrument would be born. In other words, that he could easily make it. But notice, since he was showing, reflecting everything through his life, God had to take him. But first, he transports him to this time. And then, he sees him directly. And notice, what he saw when he was transported. Blessed be God. Today, the people of God, the church bride, is seeing it directly. In other words, he had to be transported to this time, to the time where the people who were there receiving the rapture in faith had already been seeing him in his ministry, and they had already identified him in their heart, in their soul, and had received him. And for that time, in that day of that activity, the church bride was ready. In other words, that day is a major key day. We do not know how much time before. Look, I always desire that the day we speak in the studies or in the chat, that there God gives what each one of you need to be ready as soon as possible. I always ask the Lord for that, because an army or host with the power of God, without limitations, Brother Branham says in the book of quotations, I will not stand in the way of someone with rapturing faith, because that is something so and so great, that it is what I'm asking the Lord for, that soon all the people of God have the rapturing faith at such a high level, so that God does great things in that time in which the church bride already has that faith at that level. Now, notice, our brother William keeps saying, and take him with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will be a secret. And it is, in other words, that is the second coming. And it is after the great tribulation on earth and the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. After 3.5 years, Christ will return to earth with his church, everyone in eternal and glorified bodies, for the restoration of the kingdom of God on earth. But remember that during the great tribulation, the kingdom of the Gentiles will be under the divine judgments under the plagues of the book of Revelation. There are some mysteries there which are not convenient to fully open them yet, so that the divine program is not interrupted. Those last three feasts, the Feast of the Trumpets, which is the Jewish New Year feast, the Feast of the Atonement, and the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, will be fulfilled by Christ in his coming. The Feast of the Booths will be the Millennial Kingdom, as simple as that. When we are, after the Great Tribulation, in the Kingdom of the Messiah, we will be in the Feast of Booths. In the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, on page, let us see here, on page 37, it tells us, page 37, it is also in the book of quotations. To have it open is on page 129, is that excerpt. Page 129, paragraph 1152. just the first paragraph there. I'm reading from the booklet, page 37. Notice now, in closing, the ministry like the seventh angel, the two witnesses under a seventh trumpet, just before or the sixth trumpet. And there he writes Revelation 11, 15 to 19. Just before the seventh trumpet, fine and three dots. And he also writes there, Moses and Elijah under the trumpet. Now, remember, and I told you, I'll bring back this great trumpet. Then he writes the great trumpet. He said, what would he do over here in Isaiah? He said, the great trumpet would sound. The great trumpet. Not trumpets now, feast of trumpets. There is two of them, Moses and Elijah, to call the trumpet. But under the great trumpet, the coming of the Lord, to announce Joseph returning, see? That all nations would assemble at Jerusalem. And he writes at the top, the great trumpet announces Joseph. And he writes Jesus. In his second coming, and he writes Christ. In other words, the Anointed One. And there, on page 129, on that paragraph 1152, he writes at the top, the great trumpet equals the coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and the Feast of the Booths, celebrated by the Hebrew people, is a commemoration of the 40 years they lived in booths in the tabernacles, traveling through the wilderness. In the Bible, well, it's a book as well, in the Bible, it tells us in Leviticus chapter 23, and in this Bible he writes, we will see the other ones later on. He tells us there in Leviticus 23, verse 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And there he writes, on the margin, this is the Bible with annotations from Scofield. And there is a space there between verse 32 to 33. And in that space, he writes, the church through the seven ages for 2,000 years. Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. In other words, the Feast of the Tabernacles, notice, shows us that 40-year journey of the Hebrew people in the wilderness. And it also typifies, represents the church going through the seven stages of the Gentile church. Now, he continues to say, it was the most practical way of life. In other words, in that Feast of the Tabernacles during that trajectory, it was the most practical way of life because if you make a concrete or wooden house, when the Spirit of God in the pillar of fire moved, who would help you take the concrete house or the wooden house? It's too heavy. Imagine that. It was better in tents. Therefore, the booths, those tabernacles, they rolled up the clothes or the skins. and took them onto the point where the pillar of fire stopped. And there they established a temporary dwelling place. We are also on this earth temporarily in these bodies, dwelling in these tabernacles of human flesh. If this tabernacle, Paul says, were dissolved, we have a building not made with hand, that is made by God. We are in a very, but very important time. Just as Israel had that 40-year journey through the wilderness, which is a type and figure of the trajectory of the church from the time of the apostles to the present time, and especially from the time of Paul to the present. In the message, the rapture tells us on page 33, it says, I thought, oh my God, one day there will come a blast from heaven. And there he writes, Revelation 1, 10 to 11, and 11, 15 to 19. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. One day, and there he draws a little cornerstone as well. The Old Testament saints back yonder, who are waiting, will blast forth. That is to say, all those of the ages, from the apostles until now, and come out of there first and go into the resurrection, will drop right in line, going into the sky. These old mortal bodies change and made like unto his own glorious body. What a parade that'll be when it starts heavenwards. Some of these days, in that rapturing time, and he writes seventh millennium, in that rapturing time that lays ahead, all proudly displaying the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their chest, the message of God in the hour that they lived in. That's the hour that we're looking forward to, brother. And to the side, he writes, there will be a trumpet blast. Looky, just in closing now, the second resurrection. Oh, the first one is past, the second is at hand, right now, will come to hand now. Now, the third one is the two witnesses of Revelation 11, 11 and 12, which these are the ones that turn back with the Spirit of Christ to witness to the Jews, like Joseph did to his brethren. Genesis 45. Now, let us continue here in the message that we started to read, the one who announces peace. Let us continue reading here. It says, therefore, let's be prepared, holding on tight, just as Jacob held on to the angel and did not let him go. And the angel said to him, let go of me, let me go, because the day is breaking, I have to go. At this end time, he must also leave in the rapture to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who? The angel. Now notice, on page, let us see here, page 37 of the message, Recognizing Your Day and Its Message, he says, let's recognize it, friends, for we are called to gather together for the sounding of the trumpet, for the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time shall be no more. He gathered Israel. The 3 days in the third day, he said he would do it. 2,700 years has passed. In that third day, he said he would gather them together, and he done it. He said he'll make known the way of life. And he writes, the trumpet and the gathering. The trumpet and the gathering. There you are. Just waiting now for the bride to get out of the way so they can come, the two prophets, Hebrew prophets, thou recognize. You remember me standing in Cairo to go up there? When Louis Petrus said, Brother Branham, if they'd ever see that, they believe their prophets. He writes there, the two prophets and the 144,000 Jews. I said, it's a good thing for me. And he writes, the way of life. see how man is, but see the grace of God? I said, I'll read this New Testament. They read it. Louis sent them over 1 million over there. Brother Louis Petrus from Sweden. They would read it coming up and down there, them Jews. Not like this modern bunch of Jews, but in their homeland. And come down, he said, if this be the Messiah, let us see him, do the sign of the prophet, we'll believe it. Louis Petrus said, Brother Branham, there is the opportunity. And Brother William writes, that's it. Above, there is. There is the opportunity. And again he writes, that's it. And on the right, he draws a Star of David and he writes, the opportunity. And he also writes to the left, if he is the Messiah, let him do the sign of the prophet. Someone told me that it would be an opportunity. I got right. Just right down to it. Some man come over and said there, Brother Argonbright said, Brother Branham, that would just alarm Israel. Bring them out before it and show the sign of the prophet. They'll believe it. I said, Lord, here I am ready. Just in case somebody was sleepy, woke him up there. I said, Lord, here I am ready. Jump on the plane, took the money and got me a ticket, stop in Cairo. Said, yep, I'm ready. The Holy Spirit said, this is not your place. And he writes, it is of the fifth Elijah. Revelation 11, 3 to 14. And he also writes 10, 8 to 11, and 22, 16. This is not your place. This is not your time. See, you get ahead of yourself. And to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in the cornerstone, he writes, the great trumpet. And at the bottom, he writes, seven trumpets. And at the bottom, he also writes, across, he wrote, the fourth Elijah is not the fifth Elijah. And I thought, oh my, I come way over here, I'm going to go. Something said, stop right here, don't you go that way. Turn on into India, don't go that. Go over to India, but don't you go here. And he writes, there, not to Israel, go to India. That is, there is a study where we spoke about what the trajectory of the sun is, how it has come from the east in its path toward the west. But notice, it returns back again. It rises again in the east, the same sun, and it makes a journey as well. Now, here, notice, thought, why? I walked out behind the hangar. I said, Lord Jesus, what does this mean? Then he made known to me, not Gentile, these prophets are the one. It has to be according to the scripture. In the book of the seals, there's a part where he says, in the question, one of the questions, while they get it, I will continue here. It had to be according to the scripture. Moses and Elijah has to come. And besides, the bride hasn't been taken out of the way yet. And then prophets will return and they'll do the sign of the prophet. That's the scripture. There it all is fulfilled then perfectly. Israel as a nation will be born in one day. Third dispensation. In other words, in the dispensation of the kingdom. And he writes, eighth day. Amen. The evening lights are shining. And he writes there, Israel equals the 144,000. will be the nation that will be born spiritually. Notice the Spirit of God returning to Israel by a prophet. We see that there in Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, he also writes there, Zechariah 4, Revelation 11, 3-6, Moses and Elijah. Page, let us see. In the seals. Let us go to 461. Is the Elijah who comes to preach to the Jews the real man who lived on the earth, or will it be the spirit of Elijah in some other man? And the answer was, there on the mid-paragraph, I'm inclined to believe that it will be an anointed man of their spirit, because back then when Elijah had gone up and Elisha encountered the sons of the prophets, see, he said, does not on Elisha. Does not the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha? See, the spirit of Elijah. And he done just like Elijah did, see? So, but I can't say that's true. I don't know. See, I'm honest with you. Now, there's another place in another question where he says that he will be a Jew. I did not have it marked here. In one of the questions, that they asked him, and he answered it. Now notice, let us see on 471. We have all of Latin America and the whole world in this study. So, someone has to get it fast. Then it keeps going, everything sending the page number. That shows that we are all in the same spirit. Let us say on the same channel. Which channel? On the channel of the age of the cornerstone. On the 8th. Brother Branham, page 471. Question 17. Brother Branham, is the seventh angel with the spirit of Elijah the same man as the Elijah sent to the 144,000 Jews during the 3.5 years after the rapture? Some of us are mixed up in this. Now notice that he had already said in the message, the sixth seal, that they are sealed before the great tribulation begins by the ministries of Moses and Elijah. But notice that all of that has not been clearly spoken how it is, so that they do not get ahead and ministers and people start to get ahead of themselves to harm the divine program. Because an imitator can only harm the divine program and bring confusion to the people. Now, while he answering, he said, no, he isn't the same. See, it's two different men. Well, if it is two men, then the one that goes to Israel, that has to do with sealing the 144,000, well, he's a man. Of what time? Well, of this time, of the present time. See, it's two different men. The Elijah that came in the form of Elijah was not Elijah. And the spirit of Elijah who came upon a man called John the Baptist was not Elijah. And the man of the seventh angel messenger at the end of the Laodicean age will not be the literal Elijah. He will be a Gentile to his people. Elijah will, or the spirit of Elijah then, coming to the people there, he will be a Jew. For they are sent to their own people. That's my revelation. And there he writes, the 50 Elijah equals will be a Jew. And to the left he writes, 50 Elijah. And he draws a Star of David. I remember when he would elbow me and nudge me with his foot. Tell them. Tell him you are of the tribe of Judah. Tell him. I said, but Brother William, but... And I would stay quiet, and he would come back and thump. And if not, a big elbow nudge. And I would go. Mm-hmm. And then once I said it, he was calm. Simple things. Because humanly, one could say, but why tell them that? But notice, the Hebrew people, when they see him, 176 in the book of quotations says that when they see him, it says, page 22, paragraph 176, and there's them two witnesses. And when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching and received back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance. See, that is the Feast of the Trumpets, bringing them back to the Feast of Atonement, which follows the Feast of the Trumpets. Bringing them back to believe, or when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's him. But he's not coming for them. He come for his bride. Notice now. Here, that message that talks about page 45. What page is it here? Let us look at that page for a moment. And now, Christ at the last day will be in the West. Because Christ, who appeared 2,000 years ago, manifested in human flesh in the east, that is, in the land of Israel, just as the sun rises in the east and journeys all the way to the west, and there it journeys, ends, and goes back to the east again. And now, always for the journey of the sun, which it rises in the east, it rose there, and it ends the journey of that day in the west. And at sunset, that journey ended, and a new day begins at sunset, because days begin in the evening. Now notice. Let us see a little bit further on, because this whole message, it speaks to us about that. We already have that message, and we can use it for a Bible study. That message is God's thoughts expressed in the last day. December 12, 1998, in Calle, Puerto Rico. Because if we keep going into it, we would have to get into another study. But let us continue with this one, where we are reading here, from the message, the one who announces peace, our brother William continues to say, therefore, Jacob, who is a type and figure of Israel, of the 144,000, who will hold on tightly when they see the angel coming, the angel that said to Jacob there, let me go, for the day breaketh. In other words, the day is breaking and I have to go. Jacob said, I will not let you go. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Genesis 32:26. Jacob was fighting for the blessing of God. In this message, the Feast of the Trumpets, on page 24, it tells us, remember, when Jesus came on the earth, there wasn't one-hundredth of the people on the earth ever know he was here. He come to get that elect group. Said, no man can come to me except my Father had drawn him. And all the Father hath, past tense, give me. They'll come. They'll know it. They'll hear it. And that is fulfilled in His second coming as well. Notice the loosing of this ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that war, we see the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. What under? The seventh seal, the seventh trumpet to the Jews. And there he writes, the seventh seal to the Gentile, the seventh trumpet to the Jew. Look at the moon darkening out. Where under? See it drawn out? The Son of Man being drove from the church. What is it? Joining in with the ecclesiastical bunch. The ecumenical move and with the World Council of Churches has drove every man. What does that thing stand for? Why you have to surrender all your evangelical teaching and things? How can two walk together lest they be agreed? They can't. And there he writes, the dark moon. And he also writes, the persecution will be under the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. The persecution will be under the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. And he writes a dash, and he writes, the 200,000 devils. Jesus said they can't. And how can a church, the Methodists and Baptists, walk together? How can the Church of Christ walk with the Presbyterian? How can the Catholic walk with the Protestant? How can Protestant walk with Protestant? But the bride can walk with the Word, which is Christ. It must be in agreement. Not the ecclesiastical system, but the Word. You have to agree with the Word to walk with the Word. Jesus said so. That makes it right. Walking with the Word. In other words, notice, how are we walking at this end time? You and I walk in agreement at this end time. Walking word with word. Now, look also on paragraph 305 on this message, the Feast of the Trumpets. It says, O brother, watch, exactly to call all, call them out of their denominations and traditions. Now, we see the Church of Pentecost age is finished. The bride must step out of the way to go up now. So the two servants of God in Revelation, the two prophets can appear upon the scene to sound the seventh trumpet to them, make known to them the Christ. Now notice when that happens, when the bride is placed in the age of the cornerstone. But notice, that is why, even before 2019, the Feast of the Trumpets could not be or was not in fulfillment because the bride was still under the dispensation of grace and the bride had to come up to the age of the cornerstone so that thus the Feast of the Trumpets could be carried out while the bride is above in the age of the cornerstone. And there is when those ministries appear in the midst of the church bride. Notice how God left those ministries there, because otherwise the group would have been denominationalized. At first it was hard for me to say it, but now I say it quickly. I am even learning how to speak without the L. Now notice, but you understand. Look. The bride must step out of the way to go up now. So the two servants of God in Revelation, the two prophets, can appear upon the scene to sound the seventh trumpet to them, make known to them the Christ. That is the Anointed One. And he writes there, the great trumpet equals the seventh trumpet makes known the second coming of Christ. Look, in these writings, that between the lines are so clear and so broken down. In other words, that is what you and I needed. But notice, in such a simple way, he said, you will find everything there. Everything that has been read has not been spoken in the way that has been read, and how all the scriptures have been interlocking, because it was the time, this time is the time, when the church bride would then be ready to go up higher, and to enter through where? Through the door. Just as there was a door to enter into the dispensation of grace, there is a door to enter into the dispensation of the kingdom. You cannot enter through the window, nor any other place. You enter through the door. It is that I just don't like that door. Notice, let us say, remember a few minutes ago we read, I see with spiritual eye, remember? Well, look, what you can do is, literally speaking, well, Lord, I'm going in with spiritual eyes. And look and go in. And in that way, you do not see with your physical eyes, you do not see the veil. And you enter with the spiritual eyes. And there you do not stumble over the veil. Don't look at him humanly, because you will stumble. But if you see him with spiritual eyes, oh Lord, let me see your promises. Let me see everything you're doing. Let me see the seventh seal in action with spiritual eye. And there you automatically are going to see all the promises being fulfilled. Let me see you, Lord, with a spiritual eye. Now notice, our brother William continues to say, that is what Jacob, the 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 from each tribe, will do. They will hold on to the angel, and there the two olive trees will be, Moses and Elijah. Now notice in the book of quotations, let us see there on page 129. Paragraph 1149, it says, from the seventh angels, messenger of the seventh seal message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. And on top he writes, the seventh seal equals is Revelation 10. Now, let me see something here. Because this is an excerpt. No, it's not this one, but let us read this one from the message, recognizing your day and its message. Now, he continues to say, to the seven trumpets, between those two times. Oh God, how can we say this to make the people see it? It's between that sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the seventh seal sound at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appears to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up. And there he drew a cornerstone. All of them prophets. Amen. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. In other words, Moses and Elijah are not a denomination. Do you see it? Read in your book, here, and see if that between the sixth and seventh trumpet is injected in there. Let the Jews being called out between the sixth and seventh plague. We came over to that 144,000. You remember that? Which was between that. Do you remember? Between the sixth the fifth seal and the sixth seal, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. There was a calling out of the 144,000. Do you remember that? Now, there is where these trumpets come in right there. And he writes there on the top, the call to the Jews equals is between the sixth and seventh seal, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Notice, when is that would be fulfilled? Now, in the message, recognizing your day and its message, on page 13, it tells us there, the bride to be taken out of the way, waiting for the going of the bride, so their prophets of Revelation 11 can call them to the Feast of the Trumpet, to make them to recognize what they have done. Remember, right between those seals, come forth the sixth seal, and there was 144,000 chosen and called. And between the sixth and seventh trumpet, Revelation 11 appears right there exactly in line with the sixth seal. What to do? What was it to do? And this was to bring forth the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, as prophets, which the Jews only believed their prophets. And they'll come forth with the sign of the prophets, and their work will be that of the prophet, for they did exactly. And he writes there, Moses and Elijah equals will be a prophet. Now he goes on to say, let us see here at something. Here on page 533, let us see, where he tells us there, 533, he says, this time was between the sixth and seventh seal, that he calls these people, spoken of by Jesus in Matthew the 24th chapter and the 31st verse, that we've just read. See, trumpet here, the two witnesses of the, when the trumpet sounds, is the trumpet of the two witnesses of the age of grace for the Jews. One trumpet sound, and he writes, the great voice of the trumpet and Moses and Elijah. He draws a cornerstone in the ages. Now notice over here, 31st, and he shall send forth his angels, not one, see, there is two of them, with a great sound of a trumpet. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there is sound of a trumpet. That's always his voice. He's calling to battle, see, God speaks. These angels will come forth with the sounding of the trumpet. And he writes 7th. And did you notice, at the last angel's message, the trumpet sound. The first angel's message, a trumpet sound. Second angel's, a trumpet sounded. When he sent it out. And he writes, the voice of the trumpet, he wrote that to the left side. And he also to the right writes, a cornerstone and the ages. Notice, but when the seals were announced, they were all in one great divine thing to call out a group of people. There was one trumpet sound, and seven seals were broke. Notice, gather his elect Jews from the four parts of the heavens. And he writes, of heaven. He mentioned the six seals, as we have seen, but not the seventh seal. He has never said nothing in here about the seventh seal nowhere. See right away the 32nd verse turned to parables of the time of the calling of the elect Jews. See, he don't say nothing about the seventh seal here. Now he says, our brother William continues to say, all of that will be fulfilled. Therefore, we will see that part soon. Israel, the 12 tribes, the 144,000, looking for the angel. What for? So that he blesses them. In the message, the uniting time and sign, there he tells us, on page 24, our brother Branham tells us, look at the uniting, God uniting the church with his word, the word with the church, that they both become the same. Say this and it'll happen. Do this and it'll happen. This is it. This is me before you. This is me proving it. This is me with you. All right. And he writes, say it is, and it'll happen. We find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds. And those sleeping saints back there, they cannot be made perfect without us. They're depending on us. Hebrews 11. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the word. And he writes of the gospel of the kingdom. Then the church and the word. And he writes of the eighth day. Then the church and the word uniting together, being coming one. The dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's uniting time. And the signs are flying everywhere. The signs are in the nations. The signs are in the communism. The signs in the Western world. The signs in the Council of Churches. And the sign is here tonight under the auspice of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God confirming it and making it the truth. Amen. Uniting time. The sign of the uniting time. And there he starts to pray and he says, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, as my poor heart jumps for joy, as I see the possibilities of me, a middle-aged man, but yet the possibilities of me seeing you come in this generation, to be alive and stand here and see when that trumpet sounds. And there he draws a Star of David and a cornerstone in the ages. And he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11, and 4, verse 1 and 1, 10 to 11. When that trumpet sounds, and he writes, when the trumpet sounds, he that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still, O Lord God. And to think of us standing in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the world won't know what's going on, but all of a sudden, you'll see appear before you, your loved one that's gone on has come to unite with you again. And will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air, and then unite with Him, to be there forever and never to have to be out of His presence again. And he writes, the resurrection. Now notice, in the message, Broken Cisterns, on page 30, which is an excerpt in the book of quotations. That is what I'm going to read. It's in the excerpt on page 130 of the book of quotations. Paragraph 1164. And here, in the message, he writes, says, remember that they which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are sleeping. For the trump of God, that last trumpet, the sixth one has just sounded. And that last trumpet, like the last seal, will be the coming of the Lord. It shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, just resting till that time. And he writes there in the booklet, the seventh seal equals the seventh trumpet. It shall sound. The coming of the Lord and the dead will resurrect. And in the book of quotations, there in that paragraph 1164 on page 130, which is that excerpt that I just read, there above he writes, the great trumpet equals the seventh seal, the resurrection. And on the right side, he writes, going upward, the great trumpet, seventh trumpet. Now, if the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord to the church, and the seventh trumpet is Moses and Elijah to the Hebrews, and he says that the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal, when the trumpet is sounded, the resurrection will take place, well, we thank God that in the midst of the church bride, is the seventh seal that will bring into fulfillment the resurrection. It could not be fulfilled in past times. Today, the church bride has the voice of the resurrection. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, John chapter 5. And in that scripture he writes, in flesh. In other words, so that the people knows how the dead will resurrect. It says that they will hear the voice of the Son of Man, of the Son of God. Now remember that there are some events, because in the sixth dimension, they are waiting for him. It says that they are waiting for his coming there. And he writes, Revelation 11. And he says, they are waiting for the second coming of the Lord. Now remember that in the first coming of the Lord, the saints of the Old Testament resurrected after his resurrection. In other words, the first one that the world, because it will be a worldwide sign, they will see rise up, is Revelation 11. And since the church bride already knows and is mature, she will know that in those days, the resurrection will be carried out. And for sure, they will be watchful, as we say, hawk-eyed, because he speaks of a glorious day, a glad day. And in that time, as a human, you may think, that will be a sad day. That is, those will be sad days. Brother Branham says that half an hour goes by quickly if you're having a good time. Where is that? Page 541. Notice, the breaking of the seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of half an hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed. Heavens, there wasn't a thing moved for a half hour. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time, but in the suspense of between death and life, it seems like a millennium. Now, notice that has different angles, because by that last part, if half an hour, it says that when you're between life and death, it's something where one feels the minutes aren't passing by. What about 3.5 days? With mockeries, with blasphemies, with a lot of things. And for sure, still in the last days, kicking that body and spitting it and doing whatever they want with that body. That will be something terrible to the human sight. But notice that when the woman is having labor pains, there's a part in the Bible, and Brother Branham also says that after the birth, the sufferings go away. But instead, it turns into a glad day. Where is that of the glad day? Because what we are interested in is in joy and happiness. But we are realistic. And we see everything related to this end time. And we do not say what Peter said to Jesus. May such a thing shall not happen to you. But how are the scriptures going to be fulfilled? Get behind me, Satan. You do not know the things of God but of man. But notice, the church bride is mature at this time. And it's not that we want that to happen, but how will the scriptures be fulfilled? 400, where it says that for that glad day to arrive, it's around 428. For we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where his sacrifice lays. Now, where would the bride go up to? To the age of the cornerstone. When? When he would come forth from the throne of intercession. See how now the scriptures are all coming together and everything is fitting together? The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice lays, and then it's over. There is no more hope for the world. She is finished then. That is, for how long that then? That's within the half hour of silence. Then she goes into fluctuations of great spasms of earthquakes and the great shakings like it was at the resurrection. As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're watching for that glad day to arrive. Take your children under your arms, Father, now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom. Grant it and feed them on the word, till they're in strength for service. What strengthens the church bride? The word. May God strengthen the church bride. May God strengthen all the elect of God, who are the spiritual family. And may God strengthen my family as well, the literal one, the physical one. In other words, may God strengthen all of us so that soon that moment of gladness, of joy comes, where we will be once again with our loved ones, those who have departed. Now notice what our brother Branham tells us in the message, How Can I Overcome? Because he knew this was in 63 in August. And he knew, look on page 34, it says, You can bury me in the sea, but the trumpet will awake me, right? I'm going home one day, amen. Until then, I'll struggle on. Now, on the cover of that message, he writes, The trumpet will sound and will awaken Brother Branham. And notice, it will awake him and also those who are over there. Now notice what our brother William continues to say further on in this same message. And what is the Lord waiting for in order to fulfill everything that is left? For the last elect to enter into the mystical body of Christ, and for Christ to make intercession for him and cleanse him from all sin with his blood, and to bring forth the new birth in the person. And then the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will have been completed. And then Christ will leave the throne of intercession where he is as high priest. He will become the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will make his claim in work. In the message, Revelation chapter 4, number 1, on page 30, it tells us, He told Peter, James, and John, and them standing there, all of his disciples said, Some of you will not see death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And he writes, Church. Now, at this time, we desire that no one sees death. Only what is written of each person. but we desire that all those who are seeing the coming of the Son of Man with his angels remain alive unto the transformation. Because you are seeing the coming of the Son of Man in his church, to his church. In other words, to his kingdom, which is his church. Said to John, said, Peter said, what are you going to do with him? That fellow, what's going to happen to him? He said, what is it to you if he sees me coming? Jesus said to Peter, Brother Branham is saying this, and he let him live to see it, after the rest of them was dead and gone. In other words, that speaks of John. What a blessing, all of us who are alive and who are seeing his coming. It is a blessing. John lived to see the coming of the Lord rehearsed in power, the whole scene set from his time until the judgment is over and the millennium is issued in. John saw every bit of it, and the millennium over. And he writes Laodicea, because the Feast of the Tabernacles represents the seventh age of the church. And the kingdom age started. So, he keeps his word, doesn't he? Then he writes, the age of the kingdom, the introduction to the millennium. We'll mark it on the second verse. The Lord willing, we'll begin the third verse in the morning. Let us bow our heads. How many tonight in this church that knows my brother, that sister, that you're going to be summoned someday, whether you're ready or not, whether you are prepared or not, you're going to be summoned to meet God. That trumpets, and he writes, Moses sounds it. That is, he is a dispensational messenger. That trumpets, and he writes, Moses sounds it, going to sound. And when it does, it'll sound to condemnation to you. And wherever you'll never live again, and you'll be tormented in a devil's pit of hell for maybe in millions of years, or ill. In other words, there is another part of ours, or ill. And he writes, Moses and Elijah summons you on high. And he draws a little cornerstone to meet the glorious saints. And there he writes, the trumpet of the year of Jubilee. Just as sure as God kept his word to Peter, James, and John, just as sure as he kept it to John the Beloved, the Revelator, just as sure as he kept his promise through the church ages, it's that sure that he promised in these last days, he would send down in a latter rain and would bring back the same spirit was upon the earth in him. The light shall come in the evening time and show the same power, the same signs, and everything that he did in his day, he would show it again in this open door in the last day. And he writes, the door. In other words, in which door? In the door of the dispensation of the kingdom. In other words, at the end of the dispensation of grace, that door closes. But above, Revelation chapter 4 says, after this I looked, and I saw a door open in heaven. Who is that door? Notice, that door is Christ. Now, in his first coming, that door had a name. In his second coming, that door has a name. And the name has to do with the work that is carried out by God for those who are inside that door. Now, it is the work of redemption 2,000 years ago with the name Jesus. Notice, he carried out the work that the name had to do with. And in his second coming, notice the claiming work to gather, of gathering together. In other words, the name has to do with the work, which we have been talking about in these places that we have read. And notice, here it is. We got it right with us now. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's preaching to you. It's teaching to you. And he writes, the teaching. It's trying to get you to see what's right and wrong. And that is only done by the angel of the Lord. He is the only one who can say what is right and what is wrong. He says in the book of quotations, in a portion, it is the Holy Spirit himself speaking through human lips, operating among human beings, trying to show mercy and grace. Our brother William continues to say, when he claims us, we will receive our transformation, and the believers in Christ who have died will be resurrected in glorified and eternal bodies. In the message, Why Cry, Speak, tells us on page 9 and part of 10, it says, just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture, we know we've lived the time out, and the time of the rapture is at hand, and we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. When we see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out of the yard and bring him back to life again and present him before us. Now notice the supernatural strength that he refers to there is that rapturing faith. We hardly have enough faith for divine healing. The Book of the Seals. On page 128, he speaks to us about this and present him before us. When we see a God who can take a cancer that's eat a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. That when that light flashes from the sky, and he writes, the second coming opened in the heavenly age. In other words, the seventh seal opened. Where? In the age of the cornerstone, the heavenly age. When that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. Yes? There's got to be something like that happen. And our school of theology can never produce that. He writes there, when the light flashes, rapturing faith, and a cornerstone in the ages. Yet, they intellectually are all right. But you've got to meet that light. And he writes, the pillar of fire. Brother Branham met the light. He knew where the light, the pillar of fire, had willed away to. And today the people of God knows where the light, the pillar of fire, has willed away to. The people of God were represented there in Brother Branham, looking, seeing that pillar of fire speaking to that other person, because he saw him. That is what he saw. You are seeing it today. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Look, that seventh seal has been announced since Genesis. How many desired today, Sunday, July 14th, 2024, to be here or to be connected watching and listening. Prophets, righteous ones, saints of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, they desired even one day. There's a place where Jesus says that later they will desire to be or to see a day of the Son of Man. If you can find it, we can read it. Where is it? If you can find it, there is around Luke 17:22. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. In other words, notice, a day like this, when we have this beautiful fellowship around the Word of God, where we can share and rejoice from this revival that God is bringing us, which is the rapturing faith, which the thunders contain. And here Moses, basing his great call upon the word, and it was great, until one day he met the light. And the very word itself spoke back to him. Thanks to God that you have met the light, and that the word itself is speaking to you. Then he got his anointing, grab hold of that anointing. Then he got his anointing, that anointing that he had in him, that's on the inside. The intellects that believe it, the faith that was based upon his belief in God, that separated him from his mother. And now when he strikes in the presence of this light, it anointed that he believed. Now we could say a little bit. Let us see if over there by the table we almost said something. Because notice, Moses is one of the two olive trees. And Moses struck in that light, and he was anointed. Now, notice, he is one of the two olive trees. And notice he wrote here, anointed upon striking in the light. That is Moses. And on the front, there he writes, when the light flashes from heaven. You should write that sentence down. I think we had already read it. But notice how beautiful what he wrote here. When the light flashes from heaven and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be gathered together. When the light flashes from heaven and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be gathered together. That is what has been happening. He continues to say, because Christ will claim physical eternal life in a physical glorified body like the one he has. He claims a glorified body for us, which he has promised for all of us. And that is the redemption of the body, the physical adoption as sons and daughters of God. Well, we have seen everything there pertaining, like this with these excerpts and what we have read, what those last three feasts, which are being fulfilled. The first one, which is the one that pertains to this time, the Feast of the Trumpets, and then we have the Feast of Atonement, and then the one of the Tabernacles. Those last three feasts are fulfilled by the Messiah in His coming. And He will know which one is being carried out, which is being in fulfillment, and what to speak in each one of them, so that they will bring forth what each one of those feasts means, both for the bride as for the Hebrew people. Well, there is so much to continue that each study takes us along many other lines. And what we do is that we do as our brother William said. Now we understand what he said. Let's pause and continue on another occasion. And further on, we will speak about that anointing and how Moses struck in that light and what happened. Because everything that God is carrying out in the midst of the church bride is that seventh seal being fulfilled and in action in the midst of the church, in the midst of the Latin American and Caribbean people. He said on one occasion, someday you will know or understand. Or what did he say? That you will realize that Gabriel and Michael have traveled through Latin America and the Caribbean. And that he was not a strange person to you. But rather, he is someone you know, and many, since he was born, at least in Puerto Rico. And I thank God that I told him, if I have to give up my life, I will give it. In other words, God was already putting that in my heart there. And maybe, perhaps, I didn't know how and why. Because notice, he's weeping seas that day. He was crying like a child. And after I told him that, I thought he was going to keep on crying more. But he calmed down. Now notice, you have made the right decision, he told me. Now, there are many things that have to do with that work of the third pool, the work of the seventh seal in action, which are not spoken so that there is always someone who wants to show off more, instead of subjecting themselves to the ministry of this time. They try then to shine more and say, I know more than him. I have more knowledge. I have a longer trajectory in the message than him. And if we speak things that they can imitate, then it diverts the attention of certain people. And they do not pay attention to the messenger. It already happened with the first and second pool. And the angel scolded him. I told you not to say anything to anyone. Look what you have caused, carnal impersonations. Now at this end time, that faithful and wise servant will be wise. And we ask God to speak what he has to say, but to hold his peace if he cannot say something that is on the tip of his tongue, as we say, to say it. But it's better to keep quiet and continue seeing the seventh seal in action. So, we are in a time where everything is moving so fast. that we already see how the world is, the nations, what we spoke about this morning. And we expect that God fulfills everything that has to be fulfilled in the midst of the church bride, and that everyone soon obtains that perfect faith, that rapturing faith, to soon go from here to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Several brethren sometimes write to me and tell me, "Brother, I just can't take it anymore." I am sure there are many here. Perhaps you have written to me, "I can't take it anymore." If you can shorten the days, notice the desperation of the church bride to leave. And we see more clearly, and each time more, how we can be placing the word right, and how each one can have that faith, where that person can speak. In other words, claim what belongs to them, which the church did not have before. Today, God has given us the tools to, I don't know if it's right to say, to pull, but over there we say, to pull the promises, claim them, because they are ours. And that was not seen in past times. But today, at this last day, at this end time, when each one of God's elect going into desperation, because to go into that squeeze, notice, it's because the bride had not gone into desperation. The squeeze was not needed if the people had gone into desperation. Now, let's go into desperation, asking and claiming and crying out for God for those promises, and God hears us. He always hears us. Well, it's been a blessing and privilege for me to be able to be here with you in Quito, Ecuador. And this is such a loving and receptive audience as it is in all other places where the bride is. And one says, well, it's the same environment of such and such a place. It is the same environment of such and such a place. It's the same environment of such and such a place. Of course, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to the bride, and the bride is one. That is in the different countries. Today we got to speak in person to the church bride in Ecuador. And those who could not make it because of some situation or because it was difficult for them to get here, don't worry. That is what the connections and broadcasts are for. God has provided everything, so don't worry that you're not here. But for sure, you have seen the best images, maybe even compared to someone who is sitting here in the front. As he said, it looks better you're over there watching on the screen at peace, seeing everything that is happening here, even though it's a blessing to be present live, but also for them. They shouldn't worry that they couldn't be here. Don't worry. You received on this occasion this portion of the word of this first part, and you received the blessings as well. May all of Ecuador continue to prepare themselves and continue on receiving the rapturing faith. And may Ecuador enter the millennial kingdom. May God bless Ecuador. May God bless you and keep you. And let us stand. And in this way, it was, time flew by over here. 3 hours? No. Again? It is because we are in the time of teaching. And in the books of the seals, it says that the teaching messages are long. Some complain that, look, at this guy talking for 3 hours, 4 hours. And sometimes we finish, and they tell me, brother, why didn't you continue? And I said, well, 4 hours or 3 hours, and they say, why didn't you keep going? There the elect are identified that have no time limits. Those who are grumbling and saying, this man is taking too long, the elect waits and receives as long as they have to. Because what we want is to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are at the time that we have to make the most of it. Because the time will come when these activities will be more difficult. So, it has been a great blessing for me. And I know that for you, my wife, and for those who are accompanying me to be here with you in Quito, Ecuador. And to remember those beautiful memories of those trips we made here in Ecuador, which I will always carry them in my heart. I love you very much, and always moving on without dismaying. No matter the situations, no matter the problems, none of them are greater than the blessings of God. None of them, no matter how big they are. They're not even a way to compare it. Because it's something so microscopic that it can't be compared with the glory that will come and with the blessings that God has for each one of us. You are an elect of God. You are an overcomer. And you are overcoming day by day. Even if you say, and things are contrary, but everything is against me. No, you're an overcomer. I am an overcomer, and keep persevering, and God will always give you the victory. And as we have always said, everything will work together for good. May God bless you and keep you, and let us leave with us in this subject, the new year, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.